ESP. We're using the Brazil one?
Yeah, I like the Brazil one.
Okay. I can't sing the Brazil one.
No, well, you can learn another language.
Portuguese.
Yeah.
It's the WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Watching Dak try to talk about that with not knowing what language they speak in Brazil was...
Well,
yeah,
we got there.
Elliot Shore Parks joins us. This call-in brought to you by Robin Ford, online at robinford.com, where cars and trucks are sold cheap, cheap. Hey, Elliot, what up, man?
Not on the Brazil vacation anymore. I mean, that next vacation is Tampa. That's tomorrow.
Yeah. So, and you're going to be able to get down there okay, yeah?
I hope so, yeah. I'm not leaving till Saturday night. It seems like everything by the airport is fine.
Okay.
Eagles are planning on going, so I'm planning on going.
So,
well, the Eagles are, they're going. They don't have a choice but to go.
Yeah,
true.
I'm glad you're committed to the grind, Elliot. I'm glad you're committed to the grind. So, you know, one thing we've been talking about all day is the Eagles are favored on Sunday. Why do you think there is this sort of hopeless... maybe not hopeless, but this idea that conceding this game on some level or that the Eagles don't really have a chance to win this one is so prevalent?
I think there's probably two reasons. One, this team has not really played consistent football for a year and a half. So I just think, I'm assuming you're talking about the fan base. I just don't think there's a faith in this team that they can definitely go out and win a game. So that's part of it. And then other part of it, I think, in my experience covering the team, the fan base always just feels mostly about the team, how they feel about the quarterback. And I don't think people have a ton of faith in Jalen right now. So to your point about why they're so willing to maybe concede this game, I think that's probably easier to do than acknowledge that they could try their hardest to win this game and probably not still win it.
Wow, even if they were fully healthy?
Well, if they had AJ and Devontae, yeah, I think that's a different story.
Okay.
I think Devontae won't be playing. Lane, I do think, will play. And AJ, that's an interesting one. Being down there today, he was at practice. He was stretching. He was not in the locker room, but it looked like he's packing, like he's going to Tampa with his cleats and his pads and everything. So I think when the injury report comes out, he'll probably be questionable.
All right. If the big dog is playing,
I'm trying to get everyone riled up.
I'm all in if AJ's playing.
All right. So there
In Jalen's career, he's played Tampa four times. He's only ever beaten them with AJ. The other three times he's lost, AJ hasn't been there. So AJ is obviously a big deal if he can go out there and play.
Well, thanks for that, Stat. I didn't realize that. Okay. Yeah.
That's what I'm here for.
So, Elliot, before we get to the rest of this game, there was a report today out of New York that Hassan Reddick, quote, would not mind a return to Philadelphia. Now, we've asked this question before, and it's always mostly been, you know, off the table, a return. Do you think the Eagles would consider trading for Hassan Reddick?
Yeah, I think the Eagles would consider it. I think it depends on what it would cost, what he is willing to play for this season. If you look, I mean, I believe the cap hit this year, if they acquired him, would be around $8 million. I don't think they're willing to pay that for Hassan Reddick. They have $11 million in cap space right now. I'd be surprised if they use the bulk of that on him. So if Hassan Reddick wants to come back to Philadelphia, the Jets would trade Hassan Reddick to the Eagles for, you know, a relatively cheap price. And he would redo his deal where it's not a big cap hit. Yeah, I think they would absolutely bring him back. I think the locker room stuff, they would look past it if all those three things would happen. I don't think all those three things are going to happen. I'm sure Hassan wants to come back here because it's a disaster for him in New York. But if his true goal is the contract, I don't see that getting rectified here.
Well, they already decided they didn't want to give him a contract,
right?
You know, so
but the difference now would be like, so is he willing to play the rest of the year on his current deal, but also maybe restructure it so the cap hit is lower this year? Is he willing to have the Eagles where next year they kind of also own his rights? Like the Eagles are not going to give him, you know, $40 million guaranteed, $30 million, like anything like that. But at this point, Hassan has to decide if he would even play for what's on his current deal.
Well, I think what it does for Hassan Reddick is it gives him a way to get on the field, stop losing money, and maybe not make it seem like he has conceded in a way that he would have to do with the Jets. Because if he plays with the Jets, he just goes back to camp with his tail between his legs, you know, $3 million poorer. He goes to the Eagles, I think the vibe is maybe different, and he feels like he got some sort of a win there, as opposed to if he goes back to the Jets, it just looks like he lost.
I agree with that 100%. I mean, I think it makes complete sense for Hassan and the Eagles to work this out. If you look at what other teams have been doing to their edge rushers this season, against the Saints, the Saints basically decided they would put tight ends on Bryce Huff, and he was unable to beat them, right? Like, the only edge that's been getting any type of pressure is Josh Sweat, and even he's not getting great pressure on the quarterback. So you're right. If Hassan Reddick wants to have any value this upcoming offseason, or even be a free agent this upcoming offseason, coming back to Philadelphia does make the most sense. It's just complicated because are the Jets going to trade him back for what? Like, removing protections on the draft pick? You know, is he going to redo his deal where they're not eating up $8 million of cap space? I mean, they need him and he needs them. It's just complicated.
Yeah, and man, and I really like Hassan Reddick. Ellie, you know, we did the show with him down there at Chickie's, the Players Lounge. Got to know him, got to know his dad, his mom, you know, his brother. He used to bring his family down there. This is so bad. He's getting such bad advice from who's ever close to him. This couldn't have played out any worse for Hassan Reddick. First of all, the Jets on the field don't miss him. They're 2-1. So they have good vibes going, so they aren't about to cave into his demands. And the Eagles, because now they would be doing you a favor by getting you back here, you're going to have to take some sort of – you're going to have to compromise in some other areas just for the Eagles to take you back. And you're losing money every week by not playing. This is like the worst-case scenario for Hassan Reddick. This thing was misplayed the entire way.
I agree with you. Look, if he wants now, this all comes back to he should have held out last year. By coming in last year, coming to training camp, because the Eagles are coming off the Super Bowl, you know, there was thoughts of winning it again. I understand why he did the good guy thing, the good teammate thing. But his power was last year. He lost his power this offseason, which is obviously evident by the fact nobody has paid him, including his own team. So you're right. I mean, I honestly do feel bad for him because his production over the past 4 years – you would think would warrant the type of big contract he's looking for. So I'm sure there is tons of frustration on his end, and to your point, his family's end, about why he hasn't gotten that contract. But at this point, it's just costing him money. So I do think the Eagles and him make sense, like help each other out.
Yeah.
Elliot, we've talked a lot today about Kellen Moore's responsibility on Sunday to I guess, not make up for the players that they're missing, but find a way schematically to give the Eagles an advantage. Ike had mentioned that he hasn't seen quite as much of, you know, from a creativity standpoint, from Kellen Moore so far this season. What do you, if you were to judge Kellen Moore so far about what he's been able to do and the changes that we expected, how would you judge him?
So I think Kellen's done a good job, and that's because I think they look like they've solved the blitz issue. Now, this Sunday is a massive test because Todd Bowles has been kind of Jalen Hurts' kryptonite. He blitzes, you know, almost more than anybody else in the league. They're fourth this year. They were third last year. So that blitz thing will be tested this week. But I think we've all kind of breezed past a little how concerned we were about the blitz and Jalen's ability to handle the blitz reading pre-snap. And they've done a really good job of that. Like, when we talk about Jalen's play this year, the issue has not been blitz pickup. Like, he seems very in control of the offense pre-snap. And I think Kellen has to get credit for that, because whether it's a ton of schematic changes pre-snap on how they're handling it, or whether he's just teaching it to Jalen in a way that Brian Johnson and Nick Sirianni were not able to last year, he has solved that problem. I agree post-snap. Like, you're not seeing, you know, bunch formations and, like, you know, running backs throwing the ball and trick plays. But that's not really what this team needed. They have the talent to move the ball. They needed pre-snap help. And I do think Kellen has helped them with that.
Yeah, I don't need trick plays. Let's not oversimplify things. Kellen Moore wasn't brought here for trick plays. I'm talking about explosive plays. I'm talking about getting guys involved, having a versatile offense where you can't hone in on one guy and you're able to feature other guys. When you have the type of weapons the Eagles have at each skill position, there shouldn't be a way to shut down the offense. I understand we want to put everything back on the quarterback and make it all about him, but some of these play designs. I mean, the idea that the play design against the Atlanta Falcons to go deep to Devontae when they could have been trying to kick a field goal. Well, the offensive coordinator has control of dialing up controlled offensive plays to where you matriculate the ball down the field, and you take the decision out of the quarterback's hands of throwing it downfield. That's what I want to see a little bit more of. Last week, Saquon not getting the ball to the middle of the second quarter. What the hell is that all about? Like, some of these things I'm saying to myself, I just haven't been overly impressed with it. That's all I'm saying. There are some good things there. I'm not saying he hasn't helped at all. I love the blitz pickup stuff. Some of the motion wasn't as much last week, but I like that. But I just some things where I'm like, Kellen Moore, this is one of these games. Your job is easier when you have pro bowlers at every position. But how you show your true genius, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur in Green Bay, it's when you don't have your top guy. I mean, Matt LaFleur just won two games without an MVP candidate.
Right.
With Malik Willis, who looked terrible in Tennessee. So we don't have our guys. This game needs to be a play designer and play caller game. If Jalen is turning the ball over as much as he is, then it's time for you to come up with an offense to where he doesn't get put in that position and you're still effective. They've been able to do it in Buffalo with no problem.
Yeah, I think that's definitely fair. And I think the criticisms you mentioned there are fair as well. I mean, the benefit of paying Kellen Moore what they pay him, and I'm sure he is one of the highest paid offensive coordinators in the league, is having that experience. So last year with Brian Johnson, when it was his first year,
right,
you know, he needed to do a better job, but ultimately it was his first year on the job. The reason you pay Vic and Kellen is for advantages like Sunday, when you have to get Jahan Dotson involved, when Johnny Wilson has to be involved. So I think that is fair, but I also think that one of his biggest jobs was to come in here and just make sure the blitz couldn't obliterate this offense, and he's done that. But I do think your next point is fair about on Sunday. Like, come out and show why you should be a head coach candidate this time next year.
Well, I can tell you this. I can predict the debate we're going to have next week, because we keep talking about the blitz, but the thing that Jalen struggled with last year was not when they blitzed a guy. It's when they did what Todd Bowles does and blitz more than one guy. And here's what's going to happen.
Get that Sunday.
Well, he's going to blitz more than one guy, but we're going to be missing weapons, and we're going to have the entire argument next week about whether this is on Jalen or it's the fact that the weapons weren't there. I can smell it. This is what's going to happen. Yeah. Trust me. I'm already writing down my notes for next week.
The other part of it too, speaking of guys we had on the players lounge with me and Ike, like, we talked to Landon Dickerson, Jordan Mailata a lot last year, especially around the playoff game, about how confusing sometimes the looks the defensive line was showing the offensive line and how that threw them off. Jordan Mailata talked this week about how Todd Bowles is really good at showing offensive line new look. So it is definitely on Jalen and Kellen Moore as well, but this is also going to be a really good new test for this new offensive line. Cam Jurgens, Mekhi Becton, all five of them together, like, communication, recognizing what they're doing, getting into the right protection, like, that'll be a really big part of it on Sunday.
All right, Elliot, final one from me. I'm leaving with this one. You can have one quarterback for the next 3 years. I give you the option. They cost the exact same thing. Jalen Hurts or Baker Mayfield. Who are you picking?
Jalen. I'm taking Jalen.
Yeah, that's not a real question.
I think
is that a real question?
It's a real question.
That's not a real question.
It's a real question.
You're taking Baker based off this?
No, it's just a real question. I haven't decided yet. I haven't decided. I'll just ask
you guys.
You
guess right, Elliot. Yes.
I haven't decided. I don't have to go to the NovaCare facility.
I just want to hear the opinions. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Elliot. Well, travel safe down there.
Yes.
And down there, you can wear whatever suits you want. It's Florida.
Trust me, I got all the linen packed.
There it is. Elliot Shore Parks. Appreciate you, man. You can hear the Go Birds podcast every single day. There's a pod every day. I love 15, 20-minute pods in the morning. Yeah. You have that from Elliot. You can get it wherever you get your podcast. All right, back to your calls in a second. 215-592-9494. Now, John Ashdale Carzar is not wearing a linen suit after Labor Day. He is not Elliot. He is a prepared guy. He's going to be prepared to help you buy, trade, or upgrade. And so is the staff at Colonial. You want a brand new 2024 Hyundai, some of the best incentives of the year? Well, trade in your old piece of junk, if that's what it is, because at Colonial, they're going to give you more for it anywhere else. $6,500 for your trade guaranteed. And you trade that in, you're going to upgrade to a brand new Hyundai, maybe one of the SUVs, the Tucson or the Santa Fe, maybe an Elantra. They have over 200 on the lot, and they can help you out with 0% financing for 60 months only at Colonial. You drive that off the lot, that new 2024, America's best warranty from Hyundai, 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain, and Hyundai Assurance. Every 2024 on the lot has to go, but don't miss it, because once they're gone, then they're gone. Online 24/7, ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. See dealer for full details. Chris in Middletown, you're on WIP. What's up, Chris?
Happy game day, man.
Nope.
What's up, Chris?
Football Friday more than game
day.
Well, I mean, Sunday's game day.
Sunday's game day.
It's game day Friday, all right?
Well, it's always game day, I guess, somewhere. You
just
know?
Say football Friday.
Yeah,
right.
It's not game
football
day.
Friday. Happy football
Thank
Friday.
Thank you.
Yes, all right.
All right.
You want to be an afternoon show guy, you're going to have to get this stuff right, buddy.
This guy. Listen, first, Spike, let me stick to things here. So, you know, they're going to win on Sunday, and my hand's very steady. Not worried at all. Hard as a rock. Pause.
Really?
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, thank you for having me on after Mr. ISP there.
Yep.
So, I'm going to officially report there's not a snowball's chance in you know where that Reddick comes back, per my sources, and I'm officially reporting that. Now, of course, ISP officially said, oh, no, he could come back, but then he spent the rest of the time talking about, well, he'd probably not, like, hedging his bets the entire time. Gee, we wonder why he got inconclusive reports on the polygraph.
I think Elliot doesn't need anybody to stand up for him, but I think
I like the questioning of Elliot, though.
Yes, 100%. But I do think he said as a player he would want him back, but he does think it's too complicated from a contractual standpoint. That's what he thinks. Yeah, but whatever. And why do you call him ISP instead of ESP? What does the I stand for?
ISP. Inconclusive.
Oh, okay, right. That's good. That's good. I like it.
All right. So here's the other thing, guys. I want to throw this out there for you guys, and you got to corner OG down when he calls, because OG likes to – now, we got good news that maybe AJ's out there, which would change things. But he always claims that Pat Mahomes is not as good of a quarterback as Jalen, that Jalen's better than him. Well, if Pat can go to a Super Bowl, win Super Bowl without top receivers, then – I don't want to hear an excuse from OG that, well, he didn't have Devontae, he didn't have AJ, you know, blah, 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 blah. Like, no, if he's great and he's better than Pat, he should be able to win without Pat Mahomes. He should be able to take Goddard and Campbell and Dotson and all those guys and still win games.
Chris, so, I don't know if you've followed the – now, look, Kansas City had a dominant defense last year, but I don't know if you've figured out the way that the Jalenites sort of do this, is that the wins are on Jalen, but the losses and interceptions are on other people. That's how it works.
So, I know. Yeah. Well, yeah, I get it. I've kind of followed that path. And then, Mike I wish you missed the question for Kyle when you had him on, and it was a great interview, but you should have asked him. You should have said, hey, Kyle, did you hear about the situation with the over-touching that went on with Trey Turner and Jack Rittmeister? What did you think about that?
You know, it would have been a good question. We were a little pressed for time. I think the thing with – I appreciate the call, Chris. I think the thing with the touching – is to ask somebody the question, I have to be able to show it to them when I talk to them.
That's the key.
Yeah. I mean, that was really the key with when we talked to Trey Turner about it.
Yeah, and he said it was a perfectly normal interaction.
No, he said it was a little much, actually. He did. And not only that, the video was on a loop, so I made him keep watching it over and over again. He did acknowledge both with his words.
He's trying to appease to you.
No, you could see in his eyes he thought it was too much.
But you know, he's also like, you know, it's a special moment. You know what I mean? And he had to understand that in the time. So it was a perfectly normal interaction.
Yeah, special for one of the two of you.
Trey was like, oh, this guy.
Yes, he's back again.
I know.
He's back again.
Like, oh, this guy.
How long is my contract? I signed a 10-year contract? How long's his contract?
Yeah. What's the chances we get Trey next year in spring training? Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, probably unlikely.
No, I think he'd probably come back on.
You think he's over it?
The bigger question again
is Bryce.
To deflect off of me is Bryce. If we get him on.
Bryce is cool.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Well, no, because here's what I... Bryce wouldn't want it to be a thing.
Yes, because it'll be a thing if we don't get him.
See?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I understand.
Yes.
Okay.
So he would grin his teeth and just bear through it, but not doing it, he knows that would be more of a thing.
Okay, let me ask you this, and this is a tease for March, for when we possibly talk to Bryce Harper in March. What are the – he wouldn't bring up, without me bringing it up, me questioning him at any point.
No. So,
but I think the most you would get, maybe like, yeah, you're a little doppel me last year with like a smile.
Okay. Right. All right. Which would be fine. Which would be fine.
Right. And it'll be fun.
You know what I'd say? I would say I was fair. I was fair. Not tough, but fair.
In your own way.
I would say after we win the World Series, why even go back to that?
Yes. Well, if we win the World Series, trust me, it's going to be the most happy-go-lucky interviews we've ever done. Look, the greatest thing about the Phillies winning the World Series would be the Phillies win the World Series. We're all filled with joy. But you really take away all of my off-season, you know, ammo if they win the World Series.
No, you can still do, listen, that was great. Let's go get Soto.
Yes. Well, trust me, the Soto thing.
Well, that's not going anywhere. We know he's that's in the holster.
I'm dialed in on the Soto thing. Give me Dombrowski when we get down to Clearwater. Look him in the eyes. Why don't we have Soto?
He did confirm on the morning show today that he will not retire if they win the World Series this year.
Oh, so we have one more offseason. Well, he needs...
Oh, Dombrowski?
Yeah. Well, he's got to spend more of Middleton's money this offseason.
I was going to say, I didn't know it was up for retirement.
He's not... Well, I guess the question was, he's an older exec. Gillick won the World Series, and he retired.
Oh, would you do it? Yeah.
Yeah. But he's got three more years.
Come back and win another one.
That's what winners do.
So Jack thinks that the Eagles are potentially rushing Lane Johnson back and rushing A.J. Brown back and thinks they should prioritize health over winning. And we actually have somebody who may agree with him, which is stunning. If you agree or disagree, 215-592-9494. I'm trying to get to people where they are expecting to win on Sunday, not hoping. They are favorites to win the game. Mm. We can win the game. Cannot be coward. I was accused of being a coward all offseason. Actually, past that. I was accused of being a coward against the Falcons.
Yeah.
You cannot be coward. 215-592-9494. Also coming up next, Dan Orlovsky had something really interesting to say about Jalen Hurts and what his ceiling is and what we may see out of Jalen Hurts in the future. We have that for you next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.